Welcome to Foster's Podcast.
Oh, no!
Как по-русски, Foster the Podcast. Привет! Welcome to Foster the Podcast, the official show of comedian Justin Foster and life coach Christine Marie. Visit us online, fosterpodcast.com. Subscribe to Foster the Podcast on iTunes. And for my stand-up tour dates, visit justincomic.com. I'm your host, Justin Foster, life coach Christy Marie, our wonderful sound guy, Ivan Ishkov. I forgot the bell today, you guys. I'm sorry. I know. I'm going to have to hit the door. Do we have a sandwich?
You have one lying around, right?
Yeah, well.
I have a toaster oven.
Just get a spatula.
Can you time your jokes exactly at 20 minutes from now?
Yeah, absolutely. That one's a little overdone. Welcome to episode 201. Last week was the big 200. This one's like, we're all like relaxed now. It's just Christy and
yeah,
I. It's raining outside. It's supposed to rain for like 2 days, you guys. 2 days of rain. People are freaking out. Los Angeles.
There's people everywhere else in the world that are like, what's the big deal?
Yeah, we've been covered in
winter.
Snow for two months. You guys, it's raining for 2 days.
For 2 days? That's what you've got, LA?
Yeah.
That's your problem?
I know. I've been in bed for like 2 days. It's been really nice. Christy, I haven't laid in bed for 48 hours in years.
Yeah.
It's been real nice.
Yeah, because you got sober.
Yeah, well, yeah. Now I'm like, I got to do things. Yeah, right. Yeah, you're right.
You got sober. That's one of the first changes is that you're no longer in bed till 4 p.m.
That's an excellent point. Yeah. It's really weird though. I just feel like such a piece of shit, but like my girlfriend's been sick. Mm-hmm. And so by proxy, I've been sick.
Oh,
so, like, yeah,
okay.
You're laying in bed. I'll just lay in bed.
Such guy shit.
I know. You know, I was like, you know, the taking care of, she's like, thank you so much for taking care of me the last 2 days. Like,
right.
I really just slept when you slept. Right. It was really
brought
my pleasure.
Sometimes when I got thirsty, I brought you a glass as well.
Boyfriend of the year over here.
So kind.
But we laid on the couch yesterday. My buddy texted me. He goes, are you still feeling crappy? And I was like, I'm on the couch in my pajamas watching The Bachelor. So you figure it out.
So no. But I'm pretending.
Are you watching it?
Yeah.
I didn't watch
yesterday, though.
I'm so happy. You didn't watch it yesterday?
I'm in love with that dude, Nick. And I have
really?
Been, yes, since the first season he was on where everyone hated all over him, with each time he's come on, I have fallen more and more deeply in love with him.
What is it that Nick does for you?
Because
I can't stand the dude.
Because he's a smartass, he's a fixer-upper, and he's super hot but doesn't know that he is, and he's kind of nerdy. And that's like, that's it for me.
That's
all I need in life is that.
I feel that he knows that he's very attractive.
I don't think he does.
Really?
I don't think he does. He's too insecure to know that he's as cute as he is.
Yeah. I can't believe you didn't watch it yesterday. I was so excited that I had something to relate to you with and to talk to you about.
I didn't watch it last night. Oh. I was busy bathing my offspring.
Well, that's pretty awesome too.
But I do love it. I was so – I freaked out when they named him The Bachelor.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I guess he'd been on two seasons before.
Yeah, he'd been on two seasons and some spinoff show that they have. He just is really whoring it out for The Bachelor.
So I haven't watched it before. It's kind of a shit show.
Yes.
Those girls are like, some of them are the worst.
Yes. Most of them are the worst.
So they went on one of them. They went on a group date.
Yeah.
Right? They were like on a big group date. And he was like, and afterwards he was like, this was all right. I'm not normally really good in a group date setting. I'm like, because you had 15 drunk chicks making out with you. Of course you were good at it.
Right. And when, because he was on the show. I was going to say, when previously were you on a date with 15 other people? But because he's been on the show. But it's different. Every time he's been on the show, he's been the one trying to get the girl.
Right.
Like, this whole thing's going to be easier.
I don't understand that. Is it scripted? I mean, obviously it's a reality show, so a lot of it's scripted. But you can't have 30 girls that are like all like want to be with this one guy.
Well, it's cast, right?
Okay.
So they have a very extensive casting process where they definitely make sure that there's like a couple normies in there that'll make it through till the end.
Yeah.
But in the beginning of the show, they also make sure that there's some batshit ass crazy folks on there.
Crazy.
And there's a show called Unreal that got like nominated for a bunch of awards that is actually written by someone who used to be a producer on these shows.
Uh-huh.
And her version is allegedly what really goes on behind the, and it talks about like hiding people's meds and giving them sugar pills instead.
Really?
Inciting like fights in between people, and the producers will go like whisper something into someone's ear, like give them these horrible ideas and talk them into them so that all this stuff explodes.
Okay, see,
so
that makes sense. Because I was like looking at some of these girls, like you're trying to find a husband, right? How do you fall out of the limo shit face on the first time? It's because the producers are getting them hammered on from the airport.
Absolutely. Come on, guys. Shots. Let's celebrate.
They know which one's going to be the train wreck, which one's going to be this. Okay. All right.
And especially that opening night. Like, if you watch the final people go home, like, the sun's coming up.
Right.
So you see these people, like, drunk and crying, and you're like, this chick's crazy. But really, she's been up for 48 hours straight drinking champagne and vodka shots.
You're right. That's
she's
funny.
She's not on her best behavior.
See, I was wondering, because they do that. They do like the they do the cutaways where they like interview them, and some of them are just absolute shit face. Yeah. Like I'm here to fucking win. And like you got to watch it when the season comes out. And be like, oh my god,
whoops!
It's like because like one of the girls like got naked and like I'm like you're trying to find a husband acting like this,
right?
I don't understand,
right?
And then but then the normies like get no they get no
air
camera
time until the end
at all.
Absolutely,
yeah.
That's how I found my wife.
In a pool, just hold my titties.
Hold my titties.
Because my girlfriend, we were talking about, she's like, could you imagine telling your grandkids, like, how I met your father? Well, I was naked in a pool at 4 p.m. on champagne. It's crazy to me.
It is. It is. It's it's pretty nuts. My dream is to have a version of that show where it's the exact same thing, except all of the women are forced to go to a therapist every week.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So, so they like, they look, the therapist makes them look back at videotapes of themselves.
Oh, no.
And then is like, you know, why do you think you react? And like actually work stuff out so that even if they get sent home, they're at least better, you know, like
better
they're
off.
At least sane, normal fucking people at the end of the day, or
Jessica,
at least a little better.
Can you imagine having a camera crew around you?
No.
Back when you were drinking and then having to sit down with
Could
a therapist.
Imagine?
Replay the tape like a fucking sports game.
There's a reason you black out and don't remember this stuff.
Do you remember what happened last night? No. Well, could. We have it right here.
No.
It's you with
Turns
your top
out.
Off. Yeah. That's it's so here's what I'd like to do on the show. I'd like to have Bachelor Recap episodes because I'm in it now.
Okay.
I know the girls that I hate. I know the girls that I like.
Yep.
I know, which by the way, you can never be too vocal about that when you're watching it with your girlfriend. Let me just put that out there.
Right.
You can never be like, oh, she's I'd marry her. Well, I mean, you know, if I was the Bachelor on the show.
For him.
Yeah,
for him.
Yeah. I love it. I was so excited. I watched 2 hours of it yesterday. I was like, I can't wait to talk about it on the podcast with Chris, and you missed yesterday's episode.
My husband super tries to act like he's so disgusted with the show, but every single year by the time we hit mid-season he's like, I can't believe Rebecca's acting like that. He knows everybody's names, people's names that I don't even freaking know.
It's we like did look pretty cool because we saw Becky Robinson on there, and my girl was like, did she just do your podcast? I'm like, yeah, it's no big deal. No big deal. We have, you know, we have celebrities on the show all the time.
It's whatever.
So you were that's so funny. We have so much to talk about today, but you addressed on it the other. I'd like to do a baby recap also every week on the show. Christy baby update.
Yeah.
I know you had a bachelor or a baby shower.
I did. Not a bachelorette party.
You had a baby shower.
There were no strippers.
Right. There was a baby shower. How was that?
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. My mom put it together.
I heard it was a lot of fun.
It was such a blast. You know, I'm like very anti-games.
Yes,
like
you
I don't
are.
I yeah. don't get down with that. So we just all hung out and ate food, and people wrote it was all like still holiday themed. Uh-huh. I don't know when this episode comes out, but in our life,
we're up today.
Week of January.
Yeah, we're up today. This will be up on Monday.
People wrote like little like wishes and prayers for each of the kids that we're gonna save.
Nice.
And it was just a lovely, lovely fun time. Your girlfriend came.
Yeah, she had
was
a great time.
Hit.
She? She behaved herself?
Yeah.
Nice.
She was a hit.
She didn't steal anything, did she?
Yeah,
she's stealing
a few
plates
things.
From party. Salt shakers.
She can have it. Yeah. A couple forks.
Yeah, she had a great time. That's so awesome.
Yeah.
I always have like this idea of like what baby showers are versus like what they really are.
Please tell me what you think it is.
I don't know, but she said she was going to a baby shower and I just thought it was like a bunch of girls in like lingerie like drinking champagne and shit.
Lingerie drinking champagne is what he said to me. He's like, that's what you do, right? No, it's not.
Like playing spin the bottle and shit. I didn't know.
Unfortunately, in this day, men now have to go to baby showers with their wives.
Yeah, sometimes
Did you
that
have
happens.
Husbands?
No. No.
I've gone to at least two.
I went to one.
No.
Yeah, I went to like a co-ed baby shower. It's not fun.
It's not fun for
I apologize
anybody.
To the person, right. if you're listening. I had a good time, but I also wasn't married and with my wife at the time. But the right. husbands looked bored out of their minds. Oh, yeah, cool. Another baby napkin thing or whatever. Right. Yeah, they have to act interested and
Chrissy,
shit.
Did you do the thing where you sat in the middle and then they all sat around you and you opened their gifts one by one?
Yeah, I did do that.
Oh, it's so uncomfortable.
I did do that. I did do that.
What did my girlfriend give you?
It's rude not to do
that. What did my girlfriend give you?
She gave me $20.
Right, four.
And she said, I was going to get you a baby gift card, but instead I wanted to give you $20 for cheese and cigarettes. Because earlier that day, I was telling her, I can't wait till these babies are done breastfeeding. My daughter is extremely lactose intolerant, so much so that I can't have dairy in my diet. So I was telling her, I cannot wait until these babies are done breastfeeding right. so that I can eat a hunk of cheese and smoke a pack of cigarettes simultaneously. So she gave me $20 for smokes and cheese, which I read her card and then laughed audibly and right. then had to try to explain now myself to a room full of like aunts and grandparents right. of like why I thought the card was so funny.
My girlfriend was so embarrassed. She's like, oh man. She goes, I didn't know that she had to explain it to her family. Oh, cheese awesome. And cigarettes. Can't wait.
It was so awesome.
Lactose intolerant, is that something they might grow out of?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
My grandpa was lactose intolerant and in Russia, mm-hmm. but he had one cow, and so he got used to the milk from one cow, and every time the cow died, he had to get a new cow.
Oh, really?
Used to that milk?
Oh, wow.
Interesting. Interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. You guys might just have to have a cow.
Hopefully, they said once the babies are 6 months old, that will probably go away, so I've got 3 more months till I can start eating cheese again.
That's so funny.
Of everything I've been through, I've bitched the most about the cheese.
That would be the hardest. Honestly, you don't think about that, but
right.
yeah. Being from Texas and California, if you took right. away my cheese, right. it would be what?
Right.
You know what I mean?
But out of like bed breast and bedpans and cesarean scars, I'm like, what really gets yeah. me is the fact that I have to not eat cheese. Like,
give
that's
me my
the most painful.
Singles.
Yeah, that's all I want. Is just a smothered burrito, please and thank you.
But it's like, you know, the funny thing to me was that the other day when that joke came about is we were all sitting around a table and it was like these two women and talking about how happy they were that they had quit smoking and the process they went through. And Chrissy goes, oh, I can't wait to start smoking. And they were just like, what? Oh, I can't wait. I'm going to eat a block of cheese and smoke a pack of cigarettes.
Right, whatever. You be proud of yourself for what you did, but I can't wait. Smoking is delicious.
Yes.
Kids, don't smoke. I don't condone that, but I'm weak. I can't help it.
Do you want to hear something crazy?
Yeah.
And so my father, who
yes.
you've met,
yes,
who I don't know if you've met before, my father has smoked 3 packs a day. I mean, I'm 36 as long as I've been around.
Okay.
And probably before that.
Right.
I mean, to
That's
the point.
Chain smoking.
Ivan, to the point where he'll light one with the second one and bite down on the filter to get the juices out to make sure he didn't
yeah.
miss anything.
Right.
So he got hypnotized the other day, right? And the guy goes, you're going to throw your pack of cigarettes out on your way out of my office. And my dad has not smoked in 3 months.
Isn't that crazy?
I need to do that because I'm so ready.
Really?
Yeah. I'm so sick of it.
Let me, yeah. Christy, you know more about this than I do.
Mm-hmm.
Does that go away? How does that work? If you're addicted to something, how can somebody give you a suggestion? Isn't there a physical craving?
Because it reprograms the mind. So even if your dad got headaches and things like that, there's still going to be a physical withdrawal from anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But your mind won't go back to the craving. It reprograms the way that you think about smoking, and it reprograms like the pleasure that you get that you associate with it.
Okay. Does it? What's the extent of hypnotism though? If I'm strung out on heroin, can I get a hypnotist to tell me I don't want to shoot heroin anymore?
It would probably help, and it kind of depends on what you do. I wouldn't prescribe that for major addiction. You know what I mean? I wouldn't say, but if you want to do that along with some other type of program to be able to
right.
get off of it, then that, you know, some type of detox program, that's probably best.
Right.
So that, you know, you don't die from heroin withdrawal.
Right.
But the reprogramming is really important. And what I never do, because I've talked about it on the show that I use it for fear of flying.
Yeah, I want to ask about that.
But for me, it always goes away. But I don't keep up with it. You know, smoking's a daily thing.
Right.
Flying isn't always. So I don't continuously remind myself that I love to fly and that I'm safe on a plane and
right.
those
right.
types of things. And sometimes even get into the negative talk where when, you know, things about flights are brought up, I'm like, I hate to fly. It scares me. And that brings you back to that old thought process.
Okay. So the key is to go, I love flying. I'm not afraid of flying. This is fun. But unless you somewhere go, you know, this is, well, I don't mean this.
That keeps it together. But it doesn't, because when I get hypnotized and I go on a plane, I am fine. And I do like to fly. And I'm not freaked out when I'm on the plane.
So you've got hypnotized and taken a flight before.
Oh, yeah.
And you were fine.
Absolutely.
No shit.
100%. My mom and sister will stare. The times that I do get hypnotized, they'll stare at me like waiting during turbulence for me to freak out.
And you're calm.
And I'm calm. Fall asleep.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It's pretty spectacular.
I did a 10-hour psychedelic ayahuasca trip because I wanted to quit smoking. Well, okay. One of the reasons.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure that was why.
Whatever you say, guy.
Yeah.
Dude. 10 hours later, I'm like, get me away from these hippies, and I just want to light up a cigarette.
Right.
And it didn't do a thing.
Right.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think, is there a particular mindset that you have to get hypnotized? Are there some people that can't get hypnotized?
Yes.
Do you think I would be susceptible to it?
Yes, because you have a meditation practice. So you're used to going into that space mentally. I get hypnotized in a heartbeat and I go in super deep because I have a meditation practice and I can go into that space. People who daydream often, people who meditate, you know, who have that kind of connection to their subconscious mind, it's going to go a lot more easily than people who aren't or don't.
Interesting. Okay.
So people who love to be in control.
Yes.
You probably have a hard time.
Yes. Yes. If you're if you're constantly fighting for control of your thoughts or have a hard time, you know, falling asleep or letting go of a thought, it's going to be a little bit more difficult.
Interesting.
You know, it might take a couple times. Okay. It might take, you know, a longer process. But I'm not a professional on that. But I would assume that, yes, I'm sure there's people that are unable to be hypnotized.
Okay.
But I think that's probably something you could work on if it's, you know, if you're interested.
I kind of want to.
Yeah.
I want to get hypnotized to quit smoking.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just kidding. I want to get hypnotized to for the flight thing.
Yeah.
I think that'd be really fun.
It's really awesome.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I'm going to look into that. That's like one of my intentions for 2017 is to kind of conquer that shit. Nice. I looked at like the flight training stuff for us.
Yeah.
That shit's expensive, man.
You have to find it on Groupon.
I don't want to go on an airplane in a Groupon.
No, you don't go on an airplane.
But some of you take flights. You take from here to Vegas.
Oh, okay.
And they do like a whole thing.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. No, we're in it, Christy. You said it.
My friend back in Chicago was getting his license for a two-engine plane, and he needed like 200 hours in the sky.
Right.
So he would get his friends, because fuel is expensive, and he'd be like, hey, do you want to go flying this weekend?
No.
So we'd split the fuel in half, and he's like, hey, if you want to go to Minneapolis from Chicago, like it'll only cost you $80, and like because that's what the fuel would take.
Uh-huh.
He'd get his hours in,
right?
And he'd let me take off.
No,
he didn't let me land. He didn't let me land, but he let me take off.
No,
and then like once we get up above the clouds, he just let me fuck around a little bit. With
no,
it's so fun.
Not under any circumstances.
See, I've gone skydiving and stuff, so for me, it's not.
Oh no! Could you imagine having one of your buddies fly you around,
throwing down on a plane ride like it's a friggin' keg? Get the fuck out of here! No,
like it's an Uber.
You know what I mean?
You get the way there, I'll get the way back.
Not gonna ever happen.
No. One of my buddies just got his pilot license. I love him. He's like one of my closest friends. I'm like, absolutely not. Will I never get in a plane with a dude who I've stayed up watching the sun with drinking with?
No.
There's no way.
No. I'm going to go with the pilot who like used to be in the war. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not playing any of that.
Well, that's true too.
Yeah, but he's used to it.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of drunken miles in the sky. That's fine.
I want an old white guy with like the white, like the hair that, like the...
Sully.
I want Sully every time. But he's got to be kind of bald, but with like the wraparounds, and he's got to have some definitely a suit and tie on for sure.
Okay.
These casual pilots that wear like the button up with like the short sleeves, like I don't fuck around with that. I want. He's got to have like a briefcase,
right?
You know,
right?
Why? What's in that briefcase?
I don't know, like a flight manual or something. I don't know.
A manual? I don't want any pilot that needs the manual. He's just thumbing through it while he's in the air. We're gonna figure this out together, folks.
So every episode now we've talked about. I wanted to bring in like a news article or like something that from the internet, something for us to talk about, and I wanted to save it to the end. But I'm gonna put it in the middle. I'd like to put the news segment in the middle right now because it goes around with what we're talking about right now.
Let's do it.
So this is a report from CNN. And a bunch of it's aired on a bunch of different websites. But it basically says airline pilots unanimously report suicidal thoughts, study finds. And it says, spoiler alert, your fear of flying is likely to increase after reading this.
Fucking awesome.
Hundreds of pilots who are currently flying commercial planes may be clinically depressed, according to a research published in the journal Environmental Health on Wednesday. Worse still, many pilots with symptoms of depression may not seek treatment due to fears of negative career consequences, right, such as being grounded, said researchers at Harvard. Nearly almost 2,000 pilots participated in the anonymous web-based survey conducted between April and December. Mm-hmm. And basically, the new study comes just a year and a half after depressed Germanwings co-pilot killed 150 people. And it's basically saying that a high percentage of pilots report depression and suicidal thoughts.
Do they say why? I wonder if it's because a lot of them are out of, you know, were like pilots in war. I don't know how I'm trying to say it, but you know what I mean? Like, came from that. Maybe there's some PTSD,
right? Yeah.
Connected to it, or it's because you're in a tiny little box basically by yourself with one other person for hours on end.
Probably that. It says pilots who used a higher levels of sleep aid medication were more likely to be depressed.
That makes sense too.
Traveling, being you know, afraid of losing their jobs was you know, afraid of getting grounded.
Travel probably makes it hard to, like, establish grounded life patterns.
Right.
You know, maybe even relationships.
We suspect that disrupted cardiac rhythm and or sleep disturbances may also be associated with a higher depressive score. So there's a lot of factors in it. And but that doesn't make me feel any better.
No.
To know that
it's terrifying.
To know that pilots are depressed.
It's terrifying.
I don't know. I trust sad people way more than, like, really optimistic, outgoing, happy people.
Do you?
Yeah.
But in the air?
It's like, what's under that smile,
I think,
guy?
Those are the people that get the job done. You know?
Yeah, that they show up under pressure.
Think about it. They're flying 12 hours. They turn around, fly another 12. Like, they're constantly in the air, constantly working. They don't mm-hmm. see their families. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you guys know this, they're super underpaid.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You think, oh, pilot, that's like, you know, he's going to make 100 plus.
Right.
No. If you Google it right now, I think the starting salary is like in the 30s. And it takes,
really?
It takes years to get up past like $75,000.
Wow.
It takes at least 10 years.
For that kind of lifestyle. That's amazing.
That's insane.
Yeah. No, thank you.
You'd make more money as an over-the-road trucker than a starting like pilot.
That's got to be depressing too, though.
Pilot? Are you looking at pilot salary?
Yeah.
2016. That's probably why they always have two of them, though, in case one of them gets like super depressed. Like, you get in the co-pilot's like got a My Chemical Romance t-shirt on. You're like, oh,
one
no.
One of them is actually just a shrink.
Yeah. They're like depressed teenagers. They get in and they shut the door to their room and for hours. What are they doing up there?
$20,000 to $40,000 a year.
Stop.
$20,000 to $40,000 a year. They typically start out making an hourly rate of $20 to $50 an hour, or $20,000 to $40,000 a year, depending. When you get into like a flight engineer or private pilots or people who have more experience, they can get up to $99,000 a year. So there's good job potential, but in those first years, you are not rolling around in it. That's for sure.
Ugh, that's crazy.
Yep.
That's well, that doesn't make me feel any better.
Right.
But that's where the hypnotizing is going to come in.
That's yeah, right.
You're like, why am I making more than my pilot?
Right. Yeah.
Please.
I'm a waiter.
Please. Yeah.
I tell dick jokes. Why? I'm responsible for no one. but I want to circle back around to, we were talking about smoking earlier.
Yeah.
Your husband started smoking again.
Yeah. He thinks I don't know. So when things started getting complicated with my pregnancy, my poor husband was working ridiculous hours because he was now all of a sudden out of nowhere the only one of us that was working.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like the timeline we had planned for. So he was working a ton of hours and just kind of like keeping everything running. And we had quit smoking when we started trying to get pregnant. It took us a long time to get pregnant. But I told him, I'm like, you know, I know that this is – he said something about he wishes he could have a cigarette. And I was like, if you need to smoke, I'm like, go ahead and smoke.
Right.
Just don't tell me about it. Don't let me know that you're smoking. Don't tell me about it. You know, like, don't let me smell it, but just go for it. You know?
Why did you not want to know about it? Because you also wanted to smoke, or you were worried about him? Okay.
Because I also want to smoke, right. And I didn't want to be like, how come he gets to smoke and I don't get to smoke? Well, maybe I can have just one. Like, you know what
sure,
I mean? Like, I just wanted to keep it.
Right.
Like, I didn't want to have to deal with it. So you do what you need to do. So I told him that, and he was, you know, I'm sure he was smoking, but I didn't know about it, so I didn't care. But recently, he's gotten, like, real lackadaisical with, like, the I don't know, or he's smoking more than he was previously.
Sure.
But he smells like cigarette smoke all the time, and he tries to act like he doesn't smoke, and it's just ridiculous. I'm like, you got to do better than that, buddy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's what we were talking about, like, off air, is that guys, we think that we're so slick. And that we think that women don't know, right. But you guys always know.
Yeah. And we think you're dumb.
Right. Yes. You know what I mean? Like, we'll be in the car, we'll finish the cigarette, and we'll spray, like, cologne on, and be like, oh, crushed it.
Right.
She won't know.
Set.
And a lot of times, you guys won't even say anything.
Right.
That's the funny thing about women. Not even smoking or, like, whatever secret or whatever things you guys find.
Right.
You guys, a lot of times, won't even bring it to the surface. You'll just file it away.
Yeah.
And you'll know that it's there. For when you're ready to use it.
Yeah, they'll let it simmer.
Let it simmer for a little while. They have like a little file cabinet that's there. And you gave him permission to smoke.
Right.
So he's not like
there's no
running
animosity
around on,
there.
But
right.
still in his head, he still thinks he's pulling
thinks
one on you.
Yeah.
And I love it so much.
I think he just thinks he's letting you down. Like, he probably just feels guilty. That's why. Mm. He loves you. That's why he's not telling you.
Right, but he's allowed to smoke.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I already told him he's allowed to smoke. We've even had, like, comments back and forth where he's like, yeah, I'm smoking. I'm just saying, you can at least make a better effort
to hide it. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just because I know and you know that I know doesn't mean you don't need to, like, brush them teeth before you come. It's you know, in my space.
Right. And that's the funniest thing, too, because smoking is the most obvious. Like, I had a girlfriend years ago, and, like, she quit smoking, right? Yeah. But she would still smoke behind me, and she would act like I would come home and be like, did you smoke today? She'd be like, no. And I'd be like, I could smell, like, your fingers smell like cigarette.
Right.
And then it was like, oh, this girl that I work with made me hold her cigarette for a second. I'm like, no.
That's not true at all.
But the guy, like, as a guy, like, you confront them right then and there. Have you been smoking? Like, women, you guys will do that thing where you'd be like, this motherfucker's been smoking.
Right.
All right. What else is he keeping from?
Because I don't need that right now. But something might come up later where I can just kind of dogpile the fact that, and also you've been smoking.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes. You're presenting, you're getting your facts and your case together.
Not only are you wrong today, but you were wrong last week too, just for your information. It's terrible.
That's really funny.
It is.
I just love the idea. You know, you might have a point there that he doesn't want to let you down, or he's smoking, and maybe he's smoking more than he wants to.
Right.
But I just love the fact of like, she doesn't know. I'm totally crushing this.
Yeah. And that's how we rang in the new year, by the way.
By smoking a cigarette?
Yeah. We went out, we smoked a cigarette.
Together?
Together.
Aww.
Together.
Happy
New
Year.
He opened up his basically empty pack of cigarettes.
Sure. Right. That
he bought that morning.
Yes.
I'm sure. And we went out at midnight and we smoked a cigarette.
Aww.
Yeah.
Apparently there's a hood gas station in Compton that sells loose cigarettes. So you can buy loose
singles.
Yeah.
Oh, there's one right here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's the funniest concept of it. Just buy the fucking pack.
Nah.
So you guys celebrated 2000s, the coming of 2017 by smoking.
Yeah, we did the opposite of what most people do.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm quitting this for, and I was like, nope.
Nope. Let's start this up.
Like, that last year was a real son of a bitch.
I wonder what his ritual is for hiding it. Because I have a, like, clean your mouth ritual. And it involves flossing.
Okay.
Really?
Tongue scraper for about a minute.
Yeah. Tongue scraper is
you
big.
You have to use an electric toothbrush.
Okay.
All around. You got to reach the teeth you didn't know you had.
Right.
And then Listerine for about a minute.
Okay.
Now, does your lady smoke?
No, she doesn't.
Does she know you smoke?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You just polite.
Yeah, because she's like, why don't you kiss me? I'm like, because I just had like a pack of cigarettes today. I'm not going to kiss you until I go do my ritual.
A pack of cigarettes. Right. Yeah, I just had a pack.
Because we were talking about that the other day is how like smoking like the process of smoking smells so fucking good.
Yeah.
Like when people are smoking cigarettes, it smells so
that
good.
Fresh smoke is so good.
Yes.
But about 5 minutes later, it's just
when it's stale and it's on your clothes and your fingers.
Yeah, that's not fun.
That's why
anymore.
I want to quit. Like, I won't even kiss somebody.
Right.
Yeah.
If I had a cigarette.
Yeah.
We should get hypnotized.
Yep.
You should get hypnotized on air.
I feel like it's pretty easy. I feel like I could hypnotize you. You could hypnotize me. Like, I watch it on TV.
Uh-huh.
What, you just, like,
You just wave a crystal ball in my face.
You say a couple words. Like, I can do that.
We do each other. Like,
no, that's not how it works.
We should do that. We should just try to hypnotize each other on air.
With that's a pocket watch?
Really fun.
I'm sure there's some YouTube videos out there.
You'll throw your pack away as you leave my office. Like, no, I'm
ridiculous.
Not.
You give your pack to Christy.
That's funny.
Ridiculous.
Oh, man. All right. So I want to talk about this. So so we were on break. We were on Christmas break for a while. And we're back now. And last week was the 200th episode. We didn't really get to catch up and talk about the Christmas vacation. But so I drove.
Yes.
From Los Angeles. I did a Christie move. I didn't take a train, but I didn't get on a plane. I drove from Los Angeles to Dallas and Dallas to Los Angeles.
Right.
And I was like, you know what? I've been on so many flights this year. I've done so much traveling this year. I wanted like a nice like little road trip.
Yeah, give yourself a treat.
Give myself a treat. It's, you know, it's only 23 hours.
Right.
Dude, I got to Tucson. I was like, fuck this. Never again.
Yeah.
Give me a plane. Give me a depressed pilot. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
It was so long and so boring.
Yep.
Ugh. I don't understand how you do it.
Midway through any trip, you realize you made a mistake in driving.
Yeah. Always.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. Around day two, you're like, oh, this was such a poor decision. I should have just been a human being
and gotten on a plane. For 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Yep.
You guys are babies. I used to drive a semi-truck.
Did you?
Yeah.
You were a semi-truck driver?
Yeah. 18. I had four trucks and I had a trucking company.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the furthest distance you've gone?
Dude, 1 week, I went from Chicago to Denver to Chicago to Denver to Chicago to Denver and back. I went, I think, 3 times.
Wow. In 1 week?
In 1 week.
Wow.
So illegal. Like, you can't do that.
Oh, really?
You're
not supposed to drive that?
Logbooks and stuff like that. But you just drive straight through to Denver, reload. I had another... had to drive back, make another pickup in Chicago, take it straight back to Denver.
Damn.
I think I did the whole week, and I took like maybe 2 hour naps in between each trip.
Oh. Really? Were you on drugs?
Oh no, coffee, cigarettes. That's where I really started to smoke.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
That and stand up were the two things that really got me smoking.
Semi truck driving and comedy.
And comedy.
Yeah, those are the two things.
Yeah, road trips are the best smoking times.
Yeah, we went to To Texas for Christmas. And it was fun. My girlfriend flew in. And that was great. She got to meet the family. And I got to take her around Dallas. Like, she loved Dallas. Like, I showed her how cool it was. But then on the way back, my buddy came back with me. And his only request is that we stop at this winery in Jerome, Arizona.
Okay.
That Maynard from Tool runs. So, and I was like, yeah, of course. Like, that's... absolutely. If you want to ride back, he bought like a one-way flight from LAX back to Dallas. But his only request is that he wanted to go to this winery that made it for Tool Runs.
That's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing.
But okay, so let me set it up. First of all, he has like this. It's a mountain town in Jerome, Arizona.
Okay.
It's literally in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I don't know what a Jerome, Arizona is, but I'm assuming it's in the middle of nowhere.
It's an old like mining town, and it was a ghost town that all these hippies came in and bought so people wouldn't tear it down.
Right.
Right? And Maynard from A Perfect Circle and Tool like decided to move there, and he has like a house up there, and a winery
And he went
there.
With winery?
And he makes wine.
Okie dokes.
And that's like, it's so weird to me, like heavy metal, like people that like have like this dual life of making wine.
Right.
It's
He also runs a vineyard.
Yeah, a vineyard. And the whole thing, he has like a tasting cellar where people come in from all over.
Right.
And it's just like Tool fans pretending to know about Tool wine. it's like dudes with like lip rings, like sipping Chardonnay.
They have to take their LeBray piercing out so that they can taste the wines, not get the iron taste in it.
I hated it so
much.
That's
amazing.
I love the experience, and it was super cool. But just to watch the fans come in, like thinking like Maynard was just going to be like
hanging out,
stocking shelves.
Right.
Some guy had a Pokemon hat, like a Pokemon beanie on, with like a nose ring and a Perfect Circle shirt. Like talking about like Merlot, like he knew anything about wine.
That
great
had
band,
to be the worst.
Worst fans,
right? Yes, yes, absolutely. The Tool fans are
that had to be the worst.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Then people like were walking around like kind of like looking, like saw that he wasn't there, right? And then they would like kind of leave and like would mill about and they would like taste some wine or whatever.
Weird.
It was so funny to
weird.
Me.
Weird. Oh my goodness. No thanks.
Right. But it was really cool. Like next door they had like a little gift shop where you could buy, like, it was called the Pussifer CDs. Store. Yeah, they had Pussifer CDs, they had That's a Perfect so Circle funny. Posters, and like his wife runs it, and it was a really cool like little hippie town.
Did your friend say how the wine was?
He said it was really good.
Nice.
Yeah, he's really good. I guess he'd had a bottle before.
Okay.
And so then he went and bought a couple other bottles. I bought a bottle for my roommates for like a housewarming thing.
Nice. Did you know the grapes that he's using right now? So if you buy a bottle of his wine, that's not the grapes that he's growing. It takes like 7 years to develop the grape.
Right.
And then you got to bottle it into another like 4 years or something like that. So
really?
From start to finish, it takes 7 to 10 years just to get a bottle.
Started.
And then you taste it and you're like, this sucks.
Really?
Start all over.
Wow.
So you got to rip all that out. You got to choose your fertilizer. There's so much that goes into it.
That's no crazy.
So the grapes that he's using right now, he's just ordering and they come in truckloads so he can make actual wine to pay for this process. So it takes like at least 50 years
crazy.
To get rolling. It's like the worst investment. It's really just like passion and love.
Yeah. Right. You'd have to be a rock star with like a lot of capital to just be like, I'm going to start a wine vineyard.
Right.
Right. For fans who could give a shit about wine.
My favorite wine is the cab at Flappers. I don't know.
Stop. Really?
$4.
It's
the perfect glass of wine for
$4. The Glenallan cab.
Oh, a good old Glenallan cab. Delicioso.
It was cool. I wish I knew, you know, like a lot about wine. You know, I know a little bit about wine, but like going to like a wine vineyard, like all these people like tasting and smelling stuff, and I'm sitting there with like a bottle of like Fiji water and shit. Like, well, this is fun. But yeah, dude, it's so weird. Like these like rock stars that like have like these like secondary things.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the lead singer Thrice also like is like a youth minister or like works at his church.
He's a worship pastor.
He's a worship pastor. Like it's like you like this heavy metal like rock star, and then you go and like praise Jesus during the day.
Right.
And Maynard's off making wine.
Well, you have to. I feel like the ones that did find something else are the ones that are actually like okay financially.
Right.
Because that money's not going to last.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Like the guy from Guns N' Roses, he invested in Starbucks and stuff. Like,
oh, really?
Like right in the beginning.
Yeah.
Oh, so, did he?
Oh, yeah. The bassist. Nice. What's his name? Duff?
Duff, yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Totally invested.
Sell out. Yeah, just wait. We're rock stars. We don't invest in corporations. Now, actually, hey, man, can I borrow like $20?
About $20 million? Because I know you have like $100.
Yeah, right? It sucks when the bass player is more successful than the rest of the band because he made smart business investments. Oh, man. That's great.
Have you seen the documentary like Punk Rock Dads or something like that?
No, somebody was telling me about
that
though.
It's really cool. It's just a bunch of punk rockers that like life happened to.
Right.
And they're married.
Right.
And they have kids and they're trying to raise kids, but they're still like, oh,
I'm angry.
But then like they're like their fucking daughter's on his lap and he's like on the lap and he's just like, oh, she's a little cutie. And then it was great. And they all like live in suburban houses and they're
wearing their Ramones shirt while they account.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Yes. The lead singer of Bad Religion's mowing his lawn.
It's really cool. It's really cool.
That's really
and all, one thing that I noticed about it, like they were all they're all dads, and but they all had shitty dads. So they all like the narrative through the thing was like, oh, I'm just like whatever I do, I'm just not gonna be like my dad. So a lot of them get sober. A lot of them just like
right.
Like that having the kid is the thing that made them like stop everything.
Yeah. Sure. Not want to repeat that cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think shitty dads make great.
Absolutely.
They're great teachers, right? Because you're like, okay, this is exactly, I'm sure that they're like, okay, I don't want to do this, so I'm going to do that.
Right.
Whatever. Yeah.
Instead of mirroring a good dad, you get to just say, I'm going to do all of the opposite.
I'm
going to
start over.
Yeah. Let's clear the slate.
Punk rock dads.
I think that's so important, though. I always talk about that with people of like undoing, like I call it emotional genetics, but like all the shit that we carry from our parents' mistakes that they carried from their parents' mistakes that have like kind of been passed down generation to generation. It just takes one person to kind of be like, this is really messed up and figure out how to fix themselves. And then they break the cycle all the way going forward. So their kids don't have to have it or pass it on to their kids.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. That's interesting. I, excuse me. So, like, when you see people, do you see parents in your practice a lot?
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that I don't know. Really, I had a thought, but I lost it for a second. I think that, like, if you're like good, so okay. Do good parents pass on good parent traits to their kids, and then bad parents, you can either do that or you can change it.
Yeah, either way, you can do either one.
Right.
Sometimes people with really great parents rebel against that.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at. Can you have great parents and then be a shitty parent?
Absolutely.
Also because of your like,
yeah,
I got too much love.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, there's always free will, and you can rebel in any way that you want to. So in a lot of ways, yeah, sometimes having that crappy parent makes you fight to be a different kind of parent.
Right.
Or sometimes
not. Are you
not
a proponent of like therapy? I've never gone to a therapist. Mm-hmm. And from what I know about therapy, it's all about digging into your past. Mm-hmm. And like, well, here's how your parents messed you up, and it's not your fault. Right. It's their fault. And I just always looked at that like I had like I know people that would just kept blaming all their life's problems on their parents. And I'm like, dude, just can you grow up? You're 40 years old now.
I saw a therapist for a while when I first moved here, and he was very expensive but very good. And his thing was like, yeah, you can identify that. It's super important to identify that. But how long are you going to repeat that story?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
What do you do about it? What's the solution?
Right. You're here now. Now, how do you move forward? Yeah. I think that's the best part of therapy.
I think digging into your past is super, super important because people try to file shit away that never really goes away, and it's gonna come out somehow.
Eventually, sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah. In some way, in the way that you treat your spouse, children, boss, self, whatever, that stuff that you don't deal with finds a way to come out. But the blaming on the old on the. You know, the blaming or the wallowing in or the victimizing, all of that is counterproductive. It should be like, this happened. What was my part to play in it? How do I move forward so that I can break free from it or do something different moving forward?
Right.
You know, I wish there was a way you could just like cut it off and be like, you know what? I don't have to think about the past anymore.
Right.
Because it's so exhausting and annoying.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you have to think about it all the time. You just don't want to like – you don't want to be like
– traumatized.
Right. Hey, you're late for work again. Ah, daddy wasn't there.
Oh. Right.
You know? Yeah.
Right.
So,
right.
That's just the way I am.
Yeah. My big thing that I have people do is I have them do forgiveness letters to people that they never send. So all the people that you're pissed off at, figuring out why you're pissed off at them, figuring out why you're done being pissed off at them, and then writing them a forgiveness letter that you just like burn or throw into a lake
like the
or something.
Notes I write that I write.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's a really fun practice.
Yeah.
just in case, just to get it all out on paper.
Nice.
You'd be surprised like what comes
how
out.
How cathartic. Yeah. Oh, yeah. When you feel like this is the last letter I'm ever going to write.
That's a lot of pressure too. That's why I could never commit suicide. I just couldn't commit to a letter.
Well, I'm so narcissistic. I'd probably do it like on Facebook Live.
Yeah, right. Just start a hashtag. That's great. I was going to say we should bring in forgiveness letters on air, but that's super personal.
No, that's real. Yeah, that's not fun
that's
times for anyone.
Super personal.
But I suggest it to anyone who's out there who's carrying around some crap for an ex or a parent or whatever it is. Think about why you're really mad at them.
Right.
Think about why you're done being mad at them.
Wow.
And the answer to that is normally because it's affecting my relationships moving forward, because it's exhausting, because I deserve better.
Right.
You know, it's like that kind of thing is why you're ready to be done with it. And then just write a forgiveness letter. And it's not like, it's okay that you molested me or it's all right that dad beat me. It's like, I'm choosing to forgive you because I deserve to move forward and have a happy life. And I'm not letting you take space in my mind anymore.
I had a conversation with a friend. I hadn't talked to him in a couple of years, and he hasn't talked to his mom in 3 years. And this is the kind of mom she was. When he called her, when his son was born, mm-hmm. he's like, hey, do you want to meet your grandson? And mm-hmm. she said, no, he's a bastard just like you are. And he goes, oh, okay, we're never talking again.
Yep.
And he hasn't talked to her in 3 years.
Yep.
Which I'm for. I'm just like, if 100%. That person's toxic, get him
done.
Out of here.
Yeah. Absolutely.
There's no reason for that person.
There's no rule that says that you have to, you know, you could always love your family, but there's no reason. You don't have to kick it with them.
No.
If they're saying things like that, you don't have to call them and check in.
You don't even have to like them.
Right.
And if he's going through, and if it's been years since he talked to his mom and he's fine with it and he let it go, that's awesome.
If he's
tortured by it and constantly pissed off at her, he should probably do some work around that. You know what I mean? So it's just up to the person
and
the situation.
That's super interesting. I like that. I think that's a great way to like end it, today's episode is the forgiveness letters, man. So you can write them. So if you guys are listening right now and you have somebody, so you write them.
Yeah.
How long do they have to be? Does it matter?
Nope, doesn't matter. You write it until you are done writing it. And normally you'll notice yourself relax. You'll notice, you know, the tension leave. Sometimes people start crying and then calm down, like, right, whatever it is. But you'll notice, like, that your body has let go of that.
Whatever it was.
Anger, sadness, wow, whatever the hell that it is.
Okay.
And then do some sort of ritual around it because, you know, that's why we have things like funerals and birthdays, sure, and weddings, is because ritual is really important to our psyche. So, you know, tear it up and throw it into the river, like I said. Take it out somewhere and light it on fire.
Burn it.
Safely. Yeah, you know, do things like that.
Take
so that it's an actual, like, letting go of it.
Oh, wait. They're not emailing it to info?
Info at justincomic.com? They can.
Or do that.
Yeah. We won't read them. That. That's so funny. Yeah. Yeah. Take them to Jerome, Arizona and throw them over Manor City.
Yeah. Whatever makes you happy.
Damn. All right. Yeah. I think that's a good place to stop. We learned a lot today.
Yeah.
We learned the guys aren't slick.
No.
As much as we think that we are.
Nah.
This shit always comes back. Write forgiveness letters,
yep,
to those people out there.
Let go of that ish.
And watch The Bachelorette.
Yeah, watch The Bachelorette. We'll be keeping you up to date.
And be careful when you guys fly out there. There's a lot of very sad pilots, so be safe out there.
Give them a big smile when,
yeah,
you board the plane.
Right, yeah, bring them a nice gift, a,
yeah,
cup of coffee. It could save your life. Oh, that's awesome. All right, so for our show, subscribe. That's your homework for the week, you guys. Write forgiveness letters. And for our show, go to iTunes, subscribe to Foster the Podcast. All my social media is at Justin Comic, justincomic.com. Ivan, how can people find you?
At Ivan Ishkov. That's all my social media.
And what's your Instagram? For your, do you even want to plug that anymore?
At Rowan Moon Reiki.
There you go. All right. And visit us at fosterthepodcast.com. And we got a lot of stuff coming up for the next couple of weeks. I've got to thank Christy. I would absolutely hate. I almost died the other night.
Okay.
I didn't almost die, but.
Well, yeah, we all know that you're overly dramatic.
Right. But I had a very strange encounter.
Okay.
That I would like to talk about.
It's
and,
different.
And I have a couple of other articles. Check us out, you guys. Subscribe to Foster the Podcast on iTunes. Go to fosterthepodcast.com. And we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to Foster the Podcast.